Okay, so let's get back into things. So we spent learning the Siddur over here. So we spent a number of weeks going through Karbanos, but more a little bit, like, you know, an idea here, an idea here. Not so much tying it all together. So I want to take the opportunity to do that, but also go weiter. So we're going to do both at the same time. You'll see what I mean. So we've been using Nusach Svar, Nusach Hari. So where are we up to? So at the end of Karbanos, so you have Ezem Kaiman, Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, right? And then you have a Kaddish, Kaddish Darabanan. That's it, the official ending of Karbanos, is that Kaddish. You say that Kaddish because you just got finished saying Tarsh Baal Peh, you just got finished learning Ezem Kaiman, Mishnayos, Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel Leimer. So you just learned, so you say a Kaddish after, a Kaddish Darabanan, and so that's the end of Karbanos. Now once Karbanos are over, that should mark the beginning of Pesukah D'Zimra. So that's going to be the question tonight. Do we then start Pesukah D'Zimra or not? Right? So, for example, Nusach Ashkenaz, right after Rabbi Shmuel Leimer and Kaddish, they say, tell me if I'm wrong, it's been a while, but Mizmor Shirech Nukas L'Bais L'David, right? And then there's another Kaddish, and then Baruch Shamar, right? So Baruch Shamar, we understand, that's the beginning of Pesukah D'Zimra. What's this Mizmor Shirech Nukas L'Bais L'David about? So again, we're not using Nusach Ashkenaz as the model for the Shiurim, but the concept of Nusach Ashkenaz is, well, you just got finished spending a lot of time in Karbanos, which is obviously reminds you of the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash, and so it's appropriate to then say a Kapitel Tehillim that we should be Zeichet Beis HaMikdash, and Mizmor Shirech Chanukas Avayis LaDavid, which is a Kapitel about David Melch establishing the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash, so that's appropriate. Now, that's not the beginning of Pesukah D'Zimra. That's not part of Karbanos. It's a standalone Kapitel Tehillim that you say. And that's why it has its own Kaddish, right? That's the minig, right? You say Kaddish Darabanan to seal Karbanos after Rabbi Shmuel Leimer. Then Mizmor Shirech Chanukas L'Bais HaDavid. And a Kaddish after that. Okay, and so now you could start Pesukah D'Zimra, Baruch Shamar. Okay. Nusach Svar, Nusach Ari, Yidut Mizrach. It's not like that, right? So we don't say Mizmor Shirech Chanukas L'Bais HaDavid right away. We say Hoidu. So the question that's what we're going to learn about tonight. What's this idea of saying Hoidu? Again, there's a lot of details over here, so we're not going to get to everything tonight. But as Hashem over the coming weeks, we'll see. After Hoidu, then you say Mizmor Shirech Chanukas L'Bais HaDavid, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech. There's a whole slew of psukim that we say. But the concept of saying Hoidu right now, so we have to learn about what is this Inyan. Is it part of Pesukah D'Zimra? Is it not part of Pesukah D'Zimra? Now, the obvious issue is, if it's part of Pesukah D'Zimra, then say it after start Pesukah D'Zimra, say Baruch Shamar. If we're not waiting till after Baruch Shamar to say it, so maybe it's not part of Pesukah D'Zimra. So what is it? Okay, so that's what we're going to be learning tonight. Okay, so take a look at Maran Malka number one. So many Rishonim talk about this minig of saying Hoidu, but we'll just see how the Tur puts it. We'll take it from there. So this is the Tur in Siman Nun Aleph. Just as a little bit of a breakdown for us, we know that technically speaking, what is it's referenced in the Gemara, the idea of saying Pesukah D'Zimra as part of davening. That's for sure. Exactly what is in Pesukah D'Zimra, that the Gemara never really formulates for us. We definitely have Pesukah D'Zimra starts with a bracha, it ends with a bracha. That's for sure. Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach, that's for sure. And we also know for sure from Chazal that the main body of Pesukah D'Zimra are the five halukas. That's for sure. Now, we also have another statement in the Gemara Brachas that a person should say Ashrei three times a day. So, therefore, it also became incorporated into Pesukah D'Zimra. So, the main body of Pesukah D'Zimra is certainly Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. Those are that sandwiches Pesukah D'Zimra. And the main body of Pesukah D'Zimra is Ashrei and the five Halukas. Now, there's other things that we say also, Vayivarech David, Shir Sayam. So, those are things that we'll get to. But again, focusing in on Hoidu. So the Torah says like this. So in Siman Nun Aleph, that's what the Torah is talking about, Pesukah D'Zimra. That's why over there the Torah explains. You have Baruch Shamar, you have Yishtabach, you have Ashrei, the Halukas. And so that's fundamentally what Pesukah D'Zimra is. And then the Torah mentions there's other Kapitel Tehillim, other Psukim that we add, that some people have a minig of adding on as well. So the Torah says like this. V'yesh Mekaymas, not every place had this minig, but V'yesh Mekaymas, Shenoigim Loimer Mizmer L'Soida. So the Torah puts them together. These are additions. It's not, again, why Mizmor Soyd is not from the Gemara to say. Some people have a minhag, some place have a minhag to say Hoidu and Mizmor Soyd. Kashru Kasa B'Divrei Hayomim, Hoidu Hashem Kir B'Shmai. Again, these are psukim in Divrei Hayomim. Now, why? What's the idea? He doesn't explain what they need of Mizmor Soyd, but again, focusing in on Hoidu, why say Hoidu? So he says, Lefisha David Kavul Amrei B'Kol Yom B'Fnei Haran. Now, what he's referring to is, we'll see in a second, is a medrash. We know that historically, so the Aron was always in the Mishkan, right? So Aron is in the Mishkan of Moshe, the Midbar, and then it gets to Eretz Yisrael, it's in Gilgal, and B'chul V'chul, till Shiloh. Eventually, the Mishkan finds its way to Yerushalayim. David Melch escorts the Mishkan, the Aron. He escorts the Aron to Yerushalayim, but he's not given permission to actually build the Beis HaMikdash on any level, not even nothing. So for 43 years, the Mishkan was in Yerushalayim, but sort of in a tent, in a temporary location. It wasn't officially a Mishkan either. It was just you needed somewhere to store the Aron. So there are kabbanis being brought over there in that place. It was officially just a bama, but that was where the Aron was. So for 43 years, that's where it was. So the Chazal say, it's not a psukim, but Chazal had a Masar like this, that during that kufa of 43 years, David was Masakin, that every day in that location, the psukim of Hoyd Lashem Kir Bishmoy should be said. Now we'll see soon how it was broken down, but these are psukim in Divrei Yomim, and in Divrei Yomim it says this is a tefillah or a shevach, a shir that David Melch said. So in Divrei Yomim itself, it doesn't say what context he said this shira in, but the Chazal had this Masara that he instituted it to be said during the Avodas HaKarbonos, during those 43 years when the Aron is sort of like in this temporary location type of thing. So that's what the Torah is referencing over here, that we say, again, some people have a minute to say Mizmor Soyd and Hoyd L'Hashem Kir B'Shmai, again, as it's recorded in Divrei Yomim, as he says, L'fisha David Kavul Amrei, because David was Kaveh to say this every day, B'Kol Yom L'fnei Aron, in front of the Aron when it was in this temporary state for 43 years. And the Torah goes on, V'yesh Shemay Sivim Oy Psukim. There's some places that they add other psukim as well, which is what we do as well. V'chol Mokim Mokim Kiminogi, every place does their minig, that's fine. Now, when should you say these additions? Again, he's talking about Mizmor Soyd and Hoidu. So V'yesh Oymrim HaPsukim V'HaMizmorim. So some people, some places have minig to say these additional psukim and so on, and Kibil Chetelim, Shemay Sivim, Kaidim Baruch Shomer. Some places put them before Baruch Shomer. Now it sounds like, by the way, that he's referencing a minig, not just Hoidu before Baruch Shomer, but Mizmor Soyd as well. And as anything that's just an add-on, but it's not officially part of Pesukah D'Zimra, you know, don't have the guts to put it in, after Baruch Shomer, you put it in before. So that's what some people have that minig. Okay? Uba Ashkenaz, says the Torah, but in Ashkenaz, Noigin Loima Baruch Shomer. The minig is to say Baruch Shomer, Miad. The Achrov Kol Mizmor. And then all the Mizmorim, Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos, right? He's referencing the Minig, which he talks about in other places, that on Shabbos we also add a bunch of Tehillim as well. And he says in Ashkenaz, all these add-ons, put it in the Minig in Ashkenaz was to put it after Baruch Shomer, and as Baruch Shomer officially begins with Zimra, so that's where you put it in. V'achim Mestaber, says the Torah, that makes the most sense. L'haktim ha-brach l'chol Mizmorim. The beginning brach of Pesukah Zimra is Baruch Shomer. So let that bracha be said on all the kapitach tilim and all the psukim that you're going to say in the context of Pesukah Zimra, the psukim that you have to say al Pesukah Zimra, and the psukim that the minig is to add on, but say it after Baruch Shomer so that it has a bracha to it. You know, sheilu kulam bracha tchil b'sayf, that all these kapitach tilim and all these psukim should have a bracha before and after Baruch Shomer and Yishtabach. So that's the minig. So the way the Torah brings it down is that you have these two conflicting minhagim. Again, everyone has, there's this idea of additional psukim, additional tehillim, whether it be every day Mizmor Soyd, Hoidu, or on Shabbos, an extra bunch of tehillim. And we have these different minhagim, says the Torah, of when to do it. So in Ashkenaz, says the Torah, the minig was to do it after Baruch Shomer. You're adding it into Pesukah D'Zimra. So put it in the main, in the area of Zimra, which is sandwiched with Baruch Shomer and Yishtabach. The other minig was, well, they're add-ons, so we don't want to put it in the actual real place of the Zimra. So he's do it before Baruch Shomer. Okay, that's the minig. Okay, so the question is by us, right? I say by us, those that have Nusach Sfarad and so on. we are a little bit in between. On the one hand, when it comes to the additions of, let's say, on Shabbos, right? So over there, the minig by Nusach Svarad and so on is to say it before Baal Shem, okay? And again, that's going with the svar of like, okay, there's just an addition. We're not going to put it in the main place of Pesuk Zimra, Kilu, we're adding to Chazal, it's just an addition. And that's what we do with Hoidu as well. Every single day, Hoidu is before. But Mizmor L'Soida, that we put in after Baal Shem. So it becomes a little bit tricky. So it's like this. I'll break down the question as follows. Our minig, again, seems to be going with the following approach. Those additional tehillims that you say infrequently, only on Shabbos, things like that, before Baruch Shama, that we're not going to... You know. Things that we're adding the bikvias every single day, put it after Baruch Shama, like Mizmor L'Soida, and we'll see later on, maybe not tonight, there's many additions that we do, but after Baruch Shomer. The question remains, though, what about Hoidu? What about Hoidu? Mamanoshach. If you're not willing to put additional psukim and kapitlach and so on after Baruch Shomer, and that's why Hoidu is before Baruch Shomer, then why are you willing to do it for Mizmor L'Soida? Right? Elamai, you're willing to put it in after Baruch Shomer, because at least you say it every single day, like Mizmor L'Soida, so do that for Hoidu as well. So for some reason, despite the fact that according to our minig, it should be that Hoidu, we should be comfortable putting it after Baruch Shomer like we do with Mizmor L'Soida. Again, the Psukim on Shabbos, that's infrequent already. So we don't want to put it after Baruch Shomer. That's an infrequent addition. But additions that are bikvias every single day, like Mizmor L'Soida, you put in after Baruch Shomer. So why not Hoidu? Why not Hoidu? So the explanation, so we're going to see Alpi Nigla, what the explanation is, and then Alpi Nister. So in Marmoka number 2, just to get a little bit of a more of a background in terms of where this minig of Hoidu was coming from. So the Torah referenced the idea that David was Misakin during those 43 years to say Hoidu when the Aron was in that temporary location. So you take a look at Marmoka number 2. This is from Seder Olam Rava. It's a Medrash. So the Medrash breaks it down in more detail. B'shachar, in the morning, Hayu Oimrim, Hoidu Hashem Kir B'Shemoi V'Chulu, Ad Al Tigu B'Mashichoi. Right, that like first section of Hoidu, that they would say in the morning, during those 43 years, by the Tamid Shel Shachar. That's when they would say that first part of Hoidu. Bein Harbayim, by the evening, by the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, Hayu Oimrim, they would say the second part, Shir L'Hashem Kol Aretz V'Chulu, until the end of Hoidu. So the minig by David HaMelech was that Hoidu was said, half of it in the morning by the Tamid Shel Shachar, half the second half by Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. The Kach Hoy Omer says in Medrash, that's how it was. Kol Arbayim Vishal Hashanim, for all those 43 years, Lifnei Haaron, when the Aaron was there, Ad Shev Yishlam L'Beis Olam, until Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, and then it was housed and they stopped this minig. But during those 43 years, that's how Hoidu was said. Okay, so if we think about it, that means that this capital of Hoidu, the way David Melech established it, which is where this whole minig of saying Hoidu is coming from to begin with, the minig of saying Hoidu that David Melech established wasn't necessarily for Shachris. It was a minig that was established for the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Now we know that our davening of Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv are all connected to the Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Shachris is connected to Tamid Shel Shachar, Mincha is connected to Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, and Ma'ariv is connected the fats and limbs that of the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim that needed to be burnt continuing into the night. So when we think of, so this minig of Hoidu, when David Melch established it, he didn't establish it as part of Shachris, or he didn't even establish it as part of Tamid Shel Shachar in particular. This was the Avoidus Hayoim, the collective Avoidah of Karbanis of the day, which is Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Hoidu was said in conjunction with that. Okay? So nowadays, our minig is, like I said, to say Hoidu, the whole Hoidu in the beginning of davening. But once we understand what the origin of the minig is, then you could think of it in the following way. We might say the whole thing right away in the morning, but we're not saying the whole thing for Shachris. We're saying the whole thing, the Hoidu that we say is really going on what? It's not going on Shachris. It's going on Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. So because of that, Therefore, as we'll see in a second, that's why the minig is alpi nigla, not to put it after Baruch Shamar. If you put Hoidu after Baruch Shamar, then you're saying it's part of Shachris. Shachris has Psuk de Zimra. Psuk de Zimra starts with Baruch Shamar. When you say Mizmor Soit every day, you don't think of it as like a capital tillum for the whole day. It's part of Shachris. Because it's part of Shachris, that's why it's in Psuk de Zimra. Psuk de Zimra is part of Shachris. Psuk de Zimra is not part of Mincha Ma'ariv. So if Hoidu was part of Shachris, and a Chanami, put it after Baruch Shamar. Again, the kapitloch that we add on Shabbos, we don't put in Baruch Shamar because it's not kavua every single day. But Mizmor Soida, which is kavua every single day, and it's kavua to be part of Shachris, so you put it after Baruch Shamar. But Hoidu, we don't put it after Baruch Shamar. Why? The answer is because we're not trying to make Hoidu part of Shachris. Hoidu is a kapitel that said in association of the entire day's tefillahs. Just like it was with David HaMelech. The first part of Hoidu we would say before Tam HaShul Ben Arbaim, Shal Shachar. The second part of Hoidu we would say before Tam HaShul Ben Arbaim. So we don't do it like that. We say the whole Hoidu in one fell, in one shot. But what we're saying it on is not Davka Shachar. We're saying it on Shachar's Mincha Ma'ariv. We say it before Shachar's because that's the beginning of the full set of Shachar's Mincha Ma'ariv. But it's going on everything. And because of that, you Davka don't put it after Baruch Shamar because that would limit it to Shachar's. You put it before Baruch Shamar as like sort of an intro to davening b'chlal, because just as it's going on Shachris, it's also going on Mincha Ma'ariv. If you take a look at Maromok number 3, the Manhig, one of the Rishonim, so I think this is what he's saying as well. So in his section on Tefillah Siman Beis, so he talks about this minhag of saying Hoidu, and he says like this: Shai Oimer Oisai Al HaKarban. Right, he references the medrash we saw that Hoidu was said on the Karbanis, right? Dvar Yom B'Yomai, every single day. Ulefichach Nogu Loimer Mizmor Zeh Lefnei Seder HaTfila. And because of this, the minig is to say Hoidu. He has our minig to say Hoidu before davening, before Baruch Shamar, and the minig is to say this capital of Hoidu before the Seder of davening. Ketfilas keneged temidin tiknim, because all of davening, again, Shachas Mechamar, they're all keneged temidin. So since, again, that's what he's saying, so since the Seder of Tfilas, which is Shachas Mechamar, is keneged temidin, and Hoidu was said on Tomas Shul Shachar, Tomas Shul Ben Rabbayim, and so that means nowadays also Hoidu is said on Shachas Mechamar. Again, we don't break it up like David Melch did, which we could have, I guess, you know, but the minig is not like that. But Lamaisa, we don't want to put after Baruch Shamar because that would indicate Kilu it's being limited to Shachris. It's not being limited to Shachris. It's something that's said on the collective tefillah of the day, Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv. That seems to be the Pshat Al Pi Nigla. That's the reason why, that's the Pshat Nevar Minig Al Pi Nigla. Okay. Yeah, good? Okay. One issue. If this is correct, then it still is not 100, there's still a little bit of an issue, which is, the truth is you could disagree with me, maybe it's not an issue at all, but to me the issue is it would make sense to me if this is the pshat that there should be a kaddish after Hoidu, just like there's no reason not, right? It's psukim, you could say a kaddish after, just like by Minig Ashkenaz they say kaddish after Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis Adavit, so why not say kaddish after Hoidu? If you're not saying kaddish after Hoidu, it's almost as if you're trying to connect it to Shachris. If it's a standalone capital, psukim to say, and it's going on just the entire day's davening, then to me it makes a little bit more sense to say a kaddish after. Not necessarily to disconnect it from Shachris, but it's like a standalone tefillah that you're saying as a chana for the whole day's davening. So why say a kaddish over there? Okay, like I said, it's not an overwhelming kasha, but it's a little bit of a hara, I think, that in terms of the explanation, al pi nigla, it still needs a little bit of hazard, but more on a wider lens, the shaila still remains, which is, I guess, two things. First of all, why dafka? What's talk pshat with David HaMelech? So the Aaron is in this tent for 43 years. We're talking about the meaning of saying Hoidu before Pesuk Zimra. So it's coming from the fact that David, during those 43 years before the business was built, when the Aaron is like in this tent, David Melech was misakin that every single day by the Karbonis, you should say Hoidu. The first part of Hoidu before Tamas Shul Shachar, the second part of Hoidu before Tamas Shul Ben Arbaim. Fine. Now, the Medrash clearly says that stopped once Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash. So it wasn't like David Melech was misakin this for all time. for those 43 years, I guess he felt a little bit, we needed a little bit, you know, feel it, whatever it is. There was something, it wasn't, Dovermelk didn't feel 100% comfortable with the Aron just being there without a permanent home. So you say extra psukim, okay. So why do we say it? Why do we say it? Again, if it was something that Dovermelk established forever, when there's a Beis HaMikdash as well, okay, fine. So that's Dovermelk's Mesakin, and it continues. But Dovermelk was not Mesakin it forever. He was Mesakin it for that particular time when the Aron was in limbo. So no, the Aron's not in limbo anymore. The Rambam says in Hilchas Beis HaBechira that the Aron is housed, you know, we know according to Chazal, it's Machlegis, whatever, but we Paskin, that the Aron is hidden underneath in these chambers. I spoke about this once. The Rambam's Lashon in Hilchas Beis HaBechira is not the pshat that the Aron is not in the Kodesh HaKodeshim and it's in some other, you know, secret location. No, the Rambam's Lashon is Meduyik that when Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash, he made two Kodesh HaKodeshims. There's the revealed Kodesh HaKodeshim and there's the hidden Kodesh HaKodeshim. The revealed Kodesh HaKodeshim is where, you know, where the Aron was throughout the majority of the first Beis HaMikdash. And then it retreated to the secret Kodesh HaKodeshim. But where the Aron is now is it's at home. It's not in limbo. It's in Kodesh HaKodeshim. So Shlomo Melech, therefore, again, that's why Shlomo Melech did not continue this minig of David HaMelech. And the minig doesn't. So again, the Aron is no longer in limbo. The Aron is in its proper place. Again, maybe it's not revealed, but it's in its proper place. But yet, so the question is, Bechlal, why do we have to say Haidu? David Melech said Haidu because there was something bothering him about the Aron not being properly placed. No, we don't have that issue anymore. So why do we say Haidu? Number one. Second of all, whatever was bothering David Melech, why is Haidu fixing that? Like, what, you know, David Melech authored Tehillim, so he has plenty of kapitach to choose from. No, he has to, not Tehillim, psukim in Divrei Hayomim. These are the psukim that he's going to say in Divrei Hayomim, and that's going to somehow ease his mind in terms of the Aron being Shlogim Kaimai. Okay, so this needs explanation. So these are the, so again, just to sum up, so Abderach HaPshat, Abderach HaNigla, why do we say Haidu before Baruch Shomer, not after Baruch Shomer? The answer is because Haidu is not really said to Shachris per se. Haidu is being said for Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv. And because of that, we don't want to say after Baruch Shomer because that would lock it into Shachris. It's not Shachris Dik, it's Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv Dik. And because that's exactly how David Melech established it. David Melech established it that you said Haidu before, first half of it before Tamashal Shachar, second half of Haidu before Tamashal Ben Abayim, which is basically Shachar's Mincha Ma'ariv, and that's what Haidu was set on. Okay. Again, the question that we're having is, but Lamaisa, so then if it's a standalone kapitel sort of being said, you know, sort of going on the day's davening, then why not say a Kaddish after Haidu? Why not say a Kaddish? Why? It's a Kaddish is appropriate. There's no reason not to say a Kaddish. The only reason not to say a Kaddish is because you continue in Pesuk de Zimra. Pesuk de Zimra is a separate Zach. So, if it's a separate thing, then say Kaddish. If it's not a separate thing, then say after Baruch Shomer. So, it still needs a little bit. And second of all, and the other question was, what's this whole inyan of saying Haidu when the Aron is not 100%? It's not Negea nowadays. And even at the time, why was David HaMelech concerned about it? And how did these psukim affect it? Okay. Huh? Yeah. That's also true, right? So, but again, he had all the Tehillim.
He had everything.
Exactly. So, let's have those psukim. The truth is, and we know as well, these psukim of Haidu, they're also in Tehillim. They're just slightly different. There's slight differences. That's why the Torah had a lashon that the minhag is to say Haidu Kashru Kasav Divrei Hayomim, because they are also in Tehillim. So not only is David HaMelech saying these psukim, but he's establishing the minhag to say them not as they aren't Tehillim, but as they aren't Divrei Hayomim, which needs explanation too. B'chol Divrei Hayomim is a mysterious sefer. Okay, we'll see if we'll get to that. Say it again. Yeah, Nachanami. But you see, David HaMelech, he made two different nuschayas of it. There was the nusach of it in Tehillim, the nusach of it in Divrei Hayomim, and for some reason, in terms of this takana of David HaMelech, to say it by in front of the Aron for those 43 years, and we continue that minig now with Haida before davening, before Pesuk de Zimra, we're picking Davka, the Divrei Hayomim Dika version, not the Tehillim Dika version. So, Halei Dover. Okay. Okay, so Marmok number four. So let's now switch gears into the Pnimiyas and the Kisvi Ari. What's this inyan of saying Haidu Again, in Ashkenaz after Baruch Shomer, in Sfarad before Baruch Shomer, what's the standing of Hoidu? Okay, so I'll give you a little bit of a background. So what I'm going to say is like this. For the next couple minutes, I'll say it in the Arizal Sprach, and then we'll explain Derech Havoid, Derech Chassidus, and it'll settle in. Okay, we know that Al Pi Soid, there are four different, keeping it simple, there are four different Olamis, there's four different universes, four different dimensions of reality, right? So the most lowest level, the dimension that we're most comfortable operating in, is Asiya. And then you ascend or go deeper to a more ruchnistic space that's called Yitzira. A deeper level that's called Bria until you get to Atzilus. Atzilus is where the Rebbeinu gets. Kivyochel, that's the space of Elikus. So we know that according to Arizal, this ascent from Asiya to Yitzira to Bria and to Atzilus, the neshama goes through these processes. It goes through this ascent during the process of davening. Davening is in four parts. You have Karbonis, Pesuk D'Zimra, Kriya Shema, Ubircha Seah, and Shemoneh Esrei. So by Karbonis, we're operating in Asiya. We're being Masakin, the universe of Asiya. Okay? When you go to Pesuk D'Zimra, you're being Masakin, the universe of Yetzira. When you go to Kriya Shema, Ubircha Seah, you're being Masakin, the universe of Bria. Then you get to Shemoneh Esrei, you're being Masakin, and you're experiencing Atzilus. That's the process. Aleph. Days. The Arizal says that in this process of ascent, you're not just moving from dimension to dimension. You're also interconnecting the universes as well. Okay? So the way the Arizal puts it is as follows. Every universe is made of 10 spheres. Okay? So Asiya has 10 spheres. Yitzir has 10 spheres. Says the Arizal, part of davening is not just fixing Asiya and then going to Yitzir and fixing Asiya. What you're doing is also uplifting Asiya to become interconnected to Yetzira. And then uplifting Yetzira to be interconnected with Bria. And then uplifting Bria to be interconnected with Yetzira. Now in the language of Arizal, the way he says it is as follows. Is that the higher three spheres of Asiya, right? The Chabad, right? There's 10 spheres of each in each universe. So the highest three of Asiya become attached to the lowest three of Yetzirah. So that's how it's working. And the same thing in the higher levels as well. The top three of Yetzirah become entangled and united with the lowest three of Bria. The top three of Bria become united with the lowest three of Yetzirah, of Atzilus. That's how it works. And the Arizal explains in davening, throughout the process of davening, Mamish, the prati is this moment of davening, you're being sakin in this particular aspect of that universe, this moment of davening, this particular aspect of the universe, this moment of davening, you're interconnecting them. That's all the kavanas of davening are based on these ideas. So with that in mind, take a look at Marmukah number 4. So the Arizal says like this, this is in Shar Kavanas, Inyan Tefilas HaShachar, Hine, says the Arizal, Min Hoidu Hashem Kir B'Shmoi Ad Baruch Shamar. So where are you by Hoidu? That's really the question by davening, not what are you saying, where are you? That's the question. So where are you by Haydu? So it says the Rizal, HaKol hu b'tikun gimel rishaynes shel asiya, sha'olu b'yitzira k'nizkar. So it says the Rizal like this, throughout Ketores, throughout Karbonis, you were misakin asiya. All 10 elements of asiya, you were misakin. And at the same time, by the end of Karbonis with Rabbi Shmuel Omer, what you did was that you raised the top three spheres of Asiya to the space of Yetzirah. But says the Arizal like this, now those top three spheres, those top three midas of Asiya that are now in the space of Yetzirah, they need a little bit extra tipul. A little extra tipul. It's no different than a person, right? So when you're in your zone, like, you know, first grader in first grade could be a good first grader. But once he gets to second grade, sometimes he's extra tipul. V'chul v'chul, right? So when those three, when the Chabad of Asiya, that's the language, when the Chabad of Asiya ascend to the place of Netzach HaYisrael, which is the lowest three of Yitzira, they need extra tipul. Now what's unique is we don't find this by the other Madregas, right? When Yitzira has to, when the top of Yitzira connects to the bottom of Bria, it doesn't necessarily need extra tipul. It doesn't need extra work. Same thing with Bria to Atzilus. That's because those are higher madregas. But Asiya b'chlal needs work. Asiya is the lowest anyway. So now that it's the lowest and the top of it is now going into a new space that's called Yitzira, it needs extra effort. So says the Arizal, the extra effort to be Masak in the top three of Asiya that's now in the space of Yitzira is what you're doing when you're dealing with Hoidu until Baruch Shem. So here's the amazing thing. What you are operating on is Asiya, is the top three of Asiya. But where are these top three of Asiyas located right now? They're in the universe of Yitzir, okay? Which means, as we're going to see in a second, the universe of Asiya is more Karbonis. This Yitzira is Pesuk de Zimra. So we have this funny, dynamic over here. When you're in Haidu, Til Baruch Shomar, what you are being Isaac in is aspects of Asiya. But the space that it's in, that you're operating on them in, is the space of Yitzir, which is Pesuk de Zimra. So on the one, so based on that, so the Rizal explains like this: Hine, min Haidu Hashem kir b'shmoy ad Baruch Shomar. From Haidu until Baruch Shomar, Hakol hu b'tikun gimel rishonis shel Asiya. You're being Isaac in the tikun of the top three midas of Asiya. Sha'olu b'Yitzir k'nizkar that find themselves in the universe of Yitzir. V'amnam, because of this, minig Ashkenaz hu la'imroi achar Baruch Shomar. The minig Ashkenaz is to say it after Baruch Shomar. Why? V'tam savrasim hu. The reason for minig Ashkenaz, l'fi sha'ata kvar elu nikri Yitzir. Because since these top three midas of Asiya have ascended to the universe of Yitzira, and the universe of Asiya is the universe of Pesuk de Zimra, so this is already cool, Pesuk de Zimra. So even though you're focusing in on the top three of Asiya, and Asiya always means Karbonis, but Lamaisa, where are these top three located? They're in Yitzira. So in Yitzira, Pesuk de Zimra already say Baruch Shomer before. L'fisha'ata k'fra'elu nikri Yitzira. Therefore, it's appropriate to say them when you're already acknowledging the fact that you're in the universe of Yitzira. How do you acknowledge the fact that you're in the universe of Yitzira? By saying Baruch Shomer. Because Baruch Shomer means the beginning of Pesuk de Zimra, and the space of Pesuk de Zimra is the universe of Yitzira, and that's where you are right now. You're not being Isaac in the tikkun of Yitzira, you're being Isaac in the tikkun of Asiya. But the part of Asiya that you're being Isaac in is the Asiya that's found in Yitzira. Right? So therefore says, so Minig Ashkenaz is sort of focused on what's the location. The location that I'm in right now is the location of Yitzira, which is Pesuk de Zimra space. So therefore say Baruch Shomer already. Aval Svardim, Aymrim Oisei Koidim Baruch Shomer. Svardim say Haidu before Baruch Shomer. Why? Lufisha Dain Kol Zehu Tikun Oilem Asiyah. It's because, yeah, we're in the space of Pesuk de Zimra, but we're not being Isaac in the Avoida of Yitzira yet. We're being Isaac in the Avoida of Asiya. It just happens to be the part of Asiya that we're being Isaac in is the part of Asiya which happens to have ascended to the space of Yitzira, but we're not being Isaac in Yitzira de Kavoidas, we're being Isaac in Asiya de Kavoidas, which is more Karbonis. Ki Yitzir Atzma Dain Leniskana. Yitzir itself, we're not fixed. We're not being involved in yet. Veinim akabels orila atzma, rakman baruch shomer veilech. So that's only from baruch shomer and on. V'lochein ein roi loimroi. Therefore, the minigas svardim is not to say baruch shomer before haidu. Rather, the minigas to say haidu bein asiya el yitzir. In this like sort of in between state, because what you're doing, what you're being involved in, is a tikkun and asiya. Asiya is karbanah still. But the space that this particular piece of Karbonis is found in is in Pesuk de Zimra universe. So because of that, that's what we do. We sort of separate it with a Kaddish from Karbonis, but we don't put it after Baruch Shomer either to indicate this idea. So he says, that's what we do. Bein Asiya Yitzir, Shu Acher Kaddish Asiya, after the Kaddish of Karbonis, which is the Kaddish of Asiya, the Koinem Baruch Shomer Shu Tikkun HaYitzir. That's the idea. Umarizal Nog Bizak Minig Asfardin. The Rizal himself was followed the Minig of the Sfardin. Okay, so that's you follow that so far? Okay, so that's the Alpi Soid. Again, this is all just words. But this is Alpi Soid, why Haidu has this tug of war to it. The answer is what you are dealing with Haidu is that you're being masakin the higher parts of Asiya. which really is the patient, you know, sort of the patient that's being operated on. The patient over here is really asiyadik. It's karbonos, right? But happens to be the space that the patient finds itself in is a space of yitzir, which is of the zimra. So this is why you have these conflicting minhagim. Okay, fine. Now, why, how's the breakdown to Sfaradim and Ashkenazim like this? There's ways to explain what, like, why Ashkenaz like this and why Sfaradim like that. Yeah. Okay, so we'll see if we get to it. Maybe a little bit too complicated to explain, but there's reasons. Okay, so now, in order to begin to bring this down more, the poil, we have to learn another thing, which is not the poil yet, but we'll see. It's the Imar Mokka number 5. Now, the Rizal Ben goes on to say, so what exactly is this extra tipul, this extra effort that the top three of Asiya require, and how does Hayu do it? Right? So that's what we have so far. The whole universe of Asiya was worked through in Karbonos. But now that the top three of Asiya broke through the ceiling and now is in Yetzirah, now needs extra effort to work on them. And the way that happens is through Haidu. What's this extra effort now that's required? And how does Haidu do it? So take a look what the result says. V'ine, Kavanas Haidu Hizu. The actual Kavan of Haidu, when you say it, is as follows. So I'll say it outside, then we'll say it inside together. The idea is as follows: once the top elements of Asiya break through that ceiling and now enter into the space of the Yetzirah, here's the following concern. I'm going to give a terrible mashal, but even Michael me. It's like imagine wild dogs, right? That they're just like they're bored, like Rottweilers, like aggressive dogs, and so they have, the usual food, they get fed every day, but it's like the usual stuff, but then there's like a new animal, a new type of rabbit or whatever that it shows up. It's like, oh, fresh meat, something new. It's a chiddush, and it gets their attention. So the Rizal says like this: every universe has its sitra achra kaviyachol. Every universe has its klipas. Okay, so the Rizal explains that the truth is the klipas, the sitra achra that exists in that space of yitzira. The Rizal explains that we already tamed it. I'll explain. The Rizal says that the four parts of davening, this is in parentheses, but just the four parts of davening, Ketayr, Karbonos, Pesukta Zimra, Shema, and Shemoneh Esrei, there's a preceding four, which is going to the bathroom, saying Asher Yatzar, Talis, Tzitzis, Talis, Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh. The Rizal says that each one of those first four are sort of taming the Yetzirah and the wild dogs of the universes that you're going to be involved in davening. So when you put on talis and tzitzis in the morning, you're already calming down the wild animals, the klipa, so to speak, in Yetzirah. Okay, fine. And that's fine. But now that you have the top three of Asiya breaking through that ceiling, so it's fresh meat. It's fresh meat, the chiddush. So now those klipas, the sitra achra, is now interested in attacking and attaching itself to those top three parts of Asiya. So now you need extra tipul. There needs to be extra tikkunim to solve this problem. So it says there is like this: Ata asher chitzonius shel yitzira hu tachtoin shu asiya. Now that we have this breakthrough, that means that the bottom part of yitzira is actually created with asiya, right? Asiya now becomes, right, the top of asiya becomes the bottom of yitzira. Im kin yishpachat. Now there's a concern. Penata klipas, the klipas of Yitzira, which until now have been tamed by talis and tzitzis, but now yisachzu sham begilim rishanas desi. Now they might become reinvigorated to attach themselves to the top three parts of Asiya, because it's not only is it a chiddush, but it's also from a lower universe. So it's like, like, again, I'm giving bad mashal, but like I guess I gave the mashal of a kid in school. Like, and there's a new kid in class, right? So if there's any bullies, God forbid, in the class, then that's like, they might pick on this kid, right? Such a thing. So so it's like, you know, the top three of Asiyah now went into a higher space, and the klipas might attach themselves. V'lochein, so therefore to fix this, anu oimer mizmer zeh shel haidu l'Hashem kirvishma. What is haidu accomplished? It says pirish. What is, so he says, you know, we say it every day. Haidu l'Hashem kirvishma. Right? Who are we talking to? What do the words mean? Haidu l'Hashem, praise to Hashem, kiru b'shmai, call out to his name. Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Right? Haidu ba'amim el yoysa, let the nations know his great. So he says like this, pirish, atem, what you're talking, atem malachi kaidish, you're talking to the malachim of Yitzira. You're talking to the malachim, every universe has malachim, you're talking to the malachim of Yitzira, and you're saying, haidu l'Hashem, praise Hashem, sing songs to Hashem, kiru b'shmai, asher v'ayil ma'yitzir, v'aydiu aliloysa ba'amim, and let the nations know his greatness. Who are the nations that you're talking about? Anyone? There's no goyim in the shul. What you're talking, you're telling the malachim of Yitzira to call out and to call out praises of Hashem, and let the nations, in other words, let the dogs of Yitzira, let the sitra achra that exists in Yitzira, let them hear the praises of Hashem that you're going to say. And by them hearing the praises of Hashem, mispach the naklipas, then they become more afraid. And because of this, they're back to a timid state, and they don't have the guts to attach themselves to the top three of Asiyah that just broke through the ceiling. So that's what Haidu Hashem is. And he says, "Ukamat kol ha-mizmor hazeh," says Rechaim Vital. If you go through the whole psukim over there, the whole shar say the psukim, basically the whole thing, Ad Baruch Shomar, kula misasek b'sipur. It's a mistake. B'sipur shvacha b'isparach neged ha'amim. The theme of it is talking about the greatness of Hashem as Hashem's greatness is apparent to the nations of the world. That's the inyan. So he says, "Negadam v'aklibis she'akiru alakusai gedulasai." They should know Hashem's greatest and so on. V'yispardum alakdusha, and they should become, you know, that they should become separate, and they shouldn't attach themselves to the kedusha. That's the inyan. So again, in the Arizal Shpach, that's what's going on. So we have this added concern that maybe the klipas of Yitzira will attach themselves to Asiyah when they ascend. So you say, "Hoyle Hashem kirvishmai," and so on. That it shouldn't be like that. Now, by the way, just going back a little bit, we understand a little bit more now why David HaMelech was mesaken to say this when the Aron was in no man's land. Because that's exactly what's going on over here. When things are in their place, fine, then everything is tame. But all of a sudden you have an Aron, and the Aron shows up in this place, and it doesn't have its own house. So it's like mamish out in the open. So now there's a concern of what? Of Chas V'Shalom, the klipas of attaching themselves, Chas V'Shalom, to the Aron. So there needs to be an extra added hisoiros and sort of to protect the Aron. The protection of the Aron is through Haidu L'Hashem Kiru B'Shmai. And the specific way it is that Haidu L'Hashem Kiru B'Shmai is that you're calling out Hashem's greatness to the point of where even the nations of the world, even the forces of the other side hear this. And because of that, they back up. And that's exactly what was needed at that particular time during those 43 years, because the Aron was in a vulnerable position, right? And so we do the same thing now, right before Pesuk Dezimra, because that's also, spiritually speaking, a vulnerable position. That vulnerability doesn't exist at any other point in davening. The other point in davening, there's not this concern. But now that you're talking about the lowest universe of Asiyah, that breaks through to the higher level, that's vulnerable. So just like the Aron was vulnerable then, and required Haidu L'Hashem Kiru B'Shmai, so now the aspect of the top three of Asiyah is also vulnerable, so it needs Haidu L'Hashem Kiru B'Shmai. Okay. But so this is pulling back the curtain, this is what the Mekubalim think about. So when you say Haidu, this is what the Kavanah said. But Avodas Hashem, what does it mean for people like us? So let's explain. What Chassidus does always, we talk about this all the time, what Chassidus does is that it takes more obscure and abstract ideas from Arizal and makes it about you. In other words, this model of Arizal, it's about like it's their issue, right? It's Asiyah's issue, It's the klipas of Asiyah, the Malachim, or it's their fight, it's their problem, it's their fight, right? We're just, I'll get things going by saying Hoy L'Shem Girishmai, but it's not so hard, right? So it's like the problem, it's Asiyah's concern, because it might be attacked, and the solution is the Malachim of Yitzira will sing Hashem's praises, and that will take care of the problem. They just need me to say Hoydu. But it's sort of, Chassidus says, it's not Asiyah's problem, it's your problem. And the solution is not through some malachim out there. You have to be the solution too. So it's a story about the nefesh. So let's explain a little bit this issue. Here's the question that for the next few minutes. What part of this of the human experience is called Asiyah? And what part of and how do we that that becomes susceptible, it becomes vulnerable. And what part of the nefesh is this Hoygla Hashem Kirbishmaik? What's this storyline in the soul? Okay, so it's as follows. These four madrigas, you'll see where I'm getting at in a moment. These four universes, right? Asiya, Yetzir, Briya, Asiya, Briya, Atzilus, right? Or the four parts of davening. Also, there's another four that it corresponds to, which is Doimim, Tzemeach, Chai, Medaber. Inanimate object. Tzemeach is plant life, animal life, and human beings. That's also. So that means that Asiyah, the lowest madriga, the space that is susceptible right now, that needs tikkun, that corresponds to Doimim, to inanimate object. So there's a part of us that's called a Doimim. Right? It's our story. So what does it mean to be a Doimim? What does it mean to be an inanimate object? The nature of an inanimate object, in the writings of the Maral, for example, inanimate objects, which is Asiyah, means that you are affected. It's a question of what is happening to you. In the right, we have to think about Pesach already. So in the writings of Maral, there's a major yisoid when it comes to the whole idea of slavery versus freedom. In the writings of the Maral, slavery versus freedom is the difference between in the language of the Maral, he talks about chomer versus surah. It being inanimate versus being active. Right? So inanimate is a slavery. It means, what is a slave? A slave means, if you ask the slave, what are you doing today? The slave says, nothing. What do you mean nothing? I have a busy day. It's not my day. I'm doing nothing. What am I? Whatever the master says I do is what I do. But I don't have, I'm completely passive. I don't have any of my own opinions. I have no movement of my own. I am just a piece of clay. I'm a piece of clay waiting to be molded. Now we use that lashon not like in Yom Kippur night in a beautiful way, but chaymer in the language in the Maral, that's called an inanimate object. When in the writings of the Maral, when a person is in that mode of being inanimate, you are susceptible to all sorts of attacks. That's the beginning of the end of one's avodas Hashem. The basic, most basic mida that a person has to have in order to be a true Eved Hashem and to be a on any level is proactive. Proactive. Don't wait to react to everything around you. Adarabba, you set the tone, you establish yourself. That the Maral's writings, that's the difference between a slave and a free person. The person that is the embodiment of activity, the opposite of being passive, is Moshe Rabbeinu. The Maral's writings, Moshe Rabbeinu is the embodiment of movement, the embodiment of action, the embodiment of freedom itself. That's the Metzias. So in our language that we're talking about in the Arizal, that there's this concern by Hoydu of Asiyah, that Asiyah is susceptible to attack. What is that? See, when you go through Karbanos, Asiyah has been worked through. So like you did tshuva, you said you're sorry for all your averis and so on, and by the end of Karbanos, what remains is just the pure reality of Asiyah. But the pure reality of Asiyah is still very much in danger. What's the danger? The danger is just being passive. What's the mindset of Karbanos? The mindset of Karbanos is established from the very beginning, which is ma'anu, Nachayenu, Nachazdeinu, we're nothing, we're nothing, we're nothing. We're just a bunch of Karbanis. What Karbanis is about, animals being sacrificed. The animal doesn't have any say. The animal slept along. And that's what we're identifying as through our Karbanis. And that's a good thing. Because before you get to Karbanis, you're all full of your own ideas which are messed up. So you need to sort of return to that inanimate object-like state, which is great. But now that you actually want to move ahead in Avodas Hashem, now your inanimate-like state becomes very dangerous, because that becomes the breeding ground of all sorts of lethargy, of inactivity, which then eventually, you know, sort of reverts back to all negative behaviors. There has to be a fixing of that. And the way we fix that is calling out proactively, Hoy L'Hashem Kir V'Shmoy. See, Hoy L'Hashem Kir V'Shmoy is a, even on the way that Arizal described it, it's like you have these like wild animals, and you don't wait, it's a preemptive strike. And you don't wait for them to start up and then defend yourself. You proactively go and you call out Hoy L'Hashem Kir V'Shmoy in order that they shouldn't even begin to attack. That's not just like a nice solution. That is the solution. The problem was being inanimate. The problem was asiya, the nature of asiya, which means to be an inanimate object, to be doimim, to be fundamentally like a piece of clay waiting for things to happen to you. And Hoy L'Hashem Kir V'Shmoy says, I'm not going to be that anymore. I am going to proactively call out and start the ball rolling and not wait for things to happen that I react to. Even if I know that I'm going to react properly. That's the thing. But just the very fact that I have to react to something that happens is already a problem. I'm not going to wait to react. I'm going to proactively do it. That itself is the tikkun that Asiya needs. So again, instead of this being like a story about some like obscure universe, that there's like three spheres that are under attack by wild klipas, and the Malachim and Yisir are responding. This is a story within yourself. Because what's happening is within us, when we say Haidu, is that we are trying to get to that place within ourselves to make sure we don't fall into the sort of the numbness of inactivity and of waiting for something to happen, and then we will react properly. That's not the concern, right? But the point is, the very nature of having to react is already anti-cheres. It's already anti-cheres. And it's more and deeper than this. Not only is this, so in other words, what comes at is, and that's why, by the way, let's go back for a second. If Asiya is doimim, is inanimate objects, right? What's the next universe of Yetzira? Plants. Plants is the beginning of movement, right? Plants is already something, right? A plant is in a natural state of growing. As long as you give it what it needs, has sunlight, it's going. So it wants to go, it wants to move. The nature of, that's why Ki Adam Eitz Hasadeh, the person's create is compared to a plant in this context. So here's the idea, the very inyan of Hoy L'Hashem Kir V'Shmoy, of calling out proactively before the problem starts, is already making us, it is already connecting Asiya to Yetzirah. It's already becoming Yetziratic. Again, Asiya means inanimate, it means diamond. Yetzirah means plants, which means growing and moving. The very fact that you calling out proactively, Hoy L'Hashem Kir V'Shmoy, is itself not just, you know, technically protecting us, it itself is the solution to the problem, and itself is connecting Asiya to the space that it's operating in, which is Yetzirah. It's making it proactive. That's the tikkun. But it's deeper than that as well, because here's the thing: when you call out to the nations of the world, right? Hoy L'Hashem Kir V'Shmoy. So here's the interesting thing: you have to. When you say that, right? Imagine it actually happening, right? Imagine that there's like the nations of the world are like, you know, ready to attack whatever it is, and you call out Hoy L'Hashem Kir V'Shmoy. So it's interesting. When you say that, you're trying to make them timid. But you also have to acknowledge that there's a part of them that chaps what you're talking about. Right? If I'm saying Hashem is amazing, Hashem is great, and it's completely over their heads, then it's not going to have any effect either. The fact that I'm calling out Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim and the other side reacts to it, that means that the other side at least has some level of acknowledging God's presence, which already means that by calling out Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim, I'm already saying that it's not so bad. That the universe that I'm existing in, the universe that the hordes of enemies that are at my door, are not completely bad. There's a part of them that also can hear about Hashem's greatness. And when I call it Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim, I'm just bringing out that part of them that acknowledges Hashem and knows about who Hashem is. This is also one of the differences between Asiya and Yetzira. In the language of the Arizal said that the universe of Asiya is defined as Rubai Ra. Rubai Ra. Rubai Kakuli. When you have a universe that's Rubai Ra, then guess what? You have no reason to call it Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim. Why? Because there's no one listening. I might as well say it in Chinese. It's nafkamina. But if I'm calling out Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim, that means that I have to believe that the people that I'm calling out to will chop what I'm talking about. If they chop what I'm talking about, it means that it's not Rubai Ra already. It's what? It's Chetzi, Chetzi, Chetzi. Chetzi, Chetzi. Okay? So that's already Yetzirah. As you move up the ladder, the universe has become more open to the idea of Hashem's presence. So the very fact that I'm calling out Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim and I believe that it's going to have the positive effect already means that I am now believing that the space that I'm operating in is already not as bad as I thought. It's salvageable. It's manageable. It's redeemable. And this itself is part of one's avodas Hashem in Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim. When you say Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim, the idea is to get out of Asiya and all of its negative aspects and to sort of begin the process of training the mind to think more yetziridic. What are the negative aspects of Asiya? Well, the negative aspect of Asiya is passivity, to be passive, and to just be reactive and to wait for things to happen and then you react. So Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim says, I'm not waiting for anything. I'm going on the attack. I'm being proactive. I'm becoming like Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm a Ben Chayim. And there's another aspect. That's one sort of negative side of Asiya, which needs to be overcome by Haidu, which is again the passivity of Asiya, which needs to be overcome. And there's another aspect of negativity of Asiya that needs to be overcome, which is seeing everything as the enemy, seeing everything as just like irredeemable, because that's the way Asiya see. Asiya is Rubai Ra. If it's Rubai Ra, it's kemat unredeemable. That's true, but that's also a dangerous mindset. It's a dangerous mindset when you're interested in ascending. When you're interested in going through the process of davening, you have to believe in the redemptive nature of things. You have to believe in the goodness of reality. So the very fact that you're in Asiya means that you're predisposed to think that everything is completely unsalvageable. So when you call it Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim, what you're saying is that it's salvageable. Means what it's saying is that when I say Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim, even the part of me that's called the enemy is going to hear that. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to react positively. And what does it mean for the enemy to react positively? It means it's not going to attack me. So even my own Yetzirah, this is the difference. Like, how do you see yourself in Asiya? When you see yourself from the lens of Asiya, you see yourself as mostly irredeemable. And that's also part of why you're passive, right? But when you are trying to overcome that and move ahead in life, then you have to begin to see, to be more proactive. And part of that is to see yourself and to see the reality around you as redeemable. If everything around you is just a matter of time until it falls apart, then what am I being proactive for? Just to, it's just easier not, right? The answer is that's the change. So again, this story of Hayil Hashem Kir B'Shamayim, like again, in the Arizal is like, abstract, but it comes in avodah. Because what you're saying is, when you get at after Karbanos, and now you sort of get to the core of what Asiyah is about, which is amazing, and it's great when the alternative is to be like a, you know, like this the animal roaming through the streets. But if you really want to get to the next level, then you have to really hone in on the concerns and on the downsides and the dangers of remaining in Asiyah. And when you remain in Asiyah, the two downsides are being too passive and being too negative. So to answer both, we say Hayu L'Hashem Kiyur V'Shemayim. When you say Hayu L'Hashem Kiyur V'Shemayim, you're being proactive before problems set in. And you're also acknowledging that when I say Hayu L'Hashem Kiyur V'Shemayim, things will settle, things will be better. And so the hordes that are trying to attack me will listen to Hayu L'Hashem Kiyur V'Shemayim, and they'll be able to accept it. And my own Yitzhar is not as bad as I thought. And it could also listen to the right thing. And that mindset itself allows a person to then transition to Yetzira, which is already way beyond that passive and negative and sort of, you know, inclined to negativity space and judgmentalism that's called Asiyah. It's way beyond that. If you take a look at Marmukah number 6 and 7, oh, you guys finished. I'm sorry. We'll see this very quickly. So Marmukah number 6 is the morale. He's talking about this ending of being passive and then being active. He says, "Hini avdus, slavery, mashim tachas rishusam, bola mitzad chomri." The ending of slavery comes from being chomer, means being inanimate objects, right? Shabaham, asher chomer hu evet tamid. Inanimate object is a slave. Futachas rishusachar. Whatever you do to it is what happens to it. So it's inanimate. Again, that's one downside of Asiyah, and you have to get over that with Hayu L'Hashem by being more proactive. And then the second side, which is the second negative aspect of Asiyah, which is seeing everything as irredeemable, mostly irredeemable, and that's also a very dangerous mindset to allow to fester too long. When you allow, you have to, you know, it's good to have that a little bit in order to protect yourself from dangers. But if you allow that to linger too long, then you become a pessimistic and just a negative person. So you have to. That's why. By Hoidu, you gotta get out of that by acknowledging, by believing that when you call out in Hashem's name, everyone will listen. Take a look at Marmukah number 7. The Gemara writes like this: the in the Siv Mitzisecha, the Siv Atayra Beis Gemel. He says like this: Hine, it's just like a Haldiga. In the Tzadik, Miroiv Or V'Simcha V'Chiyas Alukos. The tzaddik, because of the light and the simcha and the divine energy, hashefei olav that's upon him. So because of that, basically the tzaddik mekabel kol adam besimcha ubar upon him. The tzaddik is full of light and full of life. So the tzaddik, he sees everyone also full of light and full of life. So he receives everyone with a luminary face. Afilu sainav, even for his enemies. Afilu pchusei erech, even people that are not in such a high madriga. He sees them as more receptive to big ideas than they themselves give themselves credit for. Keina mavchin klal, the tzaddik doesn't see the difference of like a big person and a small person. Veina roi shum shemetz rab shum yehudi, the tzaddik doesn't see anything bad in any Jew. Af l'goy b'shuk, even a non-Jew in the shuk, makdim shalom. He says shalom aleichem. Shakol baruch hu yisbrach l'chavayde, everything was created for Hashem's kavod. This is not a siyah, you understand? This is like, it's not that the mentality of Rubai Ra, that's not Rubai Ra over here. So he says like this a maisa. He says, Upam achas, there's a maisa that one time it happened, Hayat Tzadik of Levi Yitzchak and Bardishev. So it's a famous story. Levi Yitzchak and Bardishev was Be'ir Varsha, he was in Warsaw. For Amr Le'ish Echad, and the maisa goes that he said to this Yid, Sheshmoy Hay Beinish. This Yid's name is Beinish. Vuaya Ish Magushim Ma'oid. Says the Gemara, this Beinish was a very physical person, Pachas Erech. Very low person. For Amrloi, and what did Berditchever say to them? He said, Tirtze, he said, you should want, Beinish, Achi, my brother, you should want God's presence. Kasher atzmecha b'shorish elyon, attach yourself to the highest root. Shorish kol ashrashim, the root of all roots. B'tveikus, v'yahava, with detachment and love. V'tira, and you'll see Beinish, ein lecha dovyoka k'mais, there's nothing greater than, there's nothing more precious than Hashem's presence. So this is how he's talking to Beinish. So he says, "V'hoyez elischoik b'nei ha'olam." This conversation that the Berditchever had with this Beinish was a joke. Everyone else was laughing. The af pe'ini had tzaddikim ha'yireim. Even by other tzaddikim that were there, they saw this as a joke. Why? Beinish. You're talking over Beinish's head. Beinish has no idea what you're talking about. You're talking about Vekas and Ahavi. I have no idea. So he says, Avla emes. But the truth is, that tzaddik emes, shenishmosei serefes, a tzaddik emes whose heart is, whose neshama is on fire, k'mayesh loyet, be'hava v'chiba, u'b'lev sameach, right? Ve'en aroya shum b'chises ba'adu. He doesn't see any deficiency in another Jew who writes the Shpila kol ha'olam mi'ar hazeh. He wants to give his light to everyone. V'ayev kol Yisrael k'vav asayin. He loves every Jew like a pupil of his own eye. And what happened? And that opens up to Beinish. It opens Beinish up to these higher masogas and higher ideas. And so that's the idea. That's Hoyd Lashon Ki Rishmai. So practically, that's the Avoida. So again, so let's go back. This is why. This ending of Hoyd Lashem is a story in the Nefesh. When you say Hoyd Lashem Ki Rishmai, what you're saying to yourself is, Ribbono Shalom, I believe in the redemptive nature of life. I believe that the world is a garden. I believe that the world is waiting to be redeemed, that it's not completely miserable and just waiting to for the problems to happen. Adrab, it's waiting for Gula to take place. And Hoyd Lashem Ki Rishmai, and I'm going to call out to myself, and I believe in myself, I'm worthy of redemption. I can be redeemed, and I will be redeemed. And that's Hoyd Lashem, and I'm going. And that itself makes the person more proactive instead of being passive like this, and it's like, you know, putting your hands up as if, you know. No, you say to yourself, I'm Beinish, and Beinish is could also hear big ideas. That's what Hoyd Lashem is about. And again, that's why. Again, going back, this is why it's specifically right there. And this is why, even in the Nigla, I'm sorry, it's late, just to finish up. That's why even in the Nigla, what do we say? We said that Hoidu is on the entire days of the day's davening. The day as it's defined by davening could easily be seen as broken, right? What's davening? Davening is, this is messed up, this is messed up, this is messed up, and even that's messed up, right? So when you define the day through the lens of davening, you could easily fall into a problem, which is everything is broken, right? You ever had this? You go through a Shemoneh Esrei and it's like a good Shemoneh Esrei, but then you see yourself, you think to yourself, one second, everything's messed up. I'm missing an Atachayin, I'm missing Hashivein, I'm missing Slachna. Like every single... So that's a beautiful davening, but sometimes there can be a sort of pessimism and a sense of asiya that sets in, which is like everything's taka messed up. So said David HaMelech, say hoidu on the whole day, but not just on the whole day as it's captured in the avoid of davening, say hoidu. Because what hoidu does is that it tells you it's redeemable. It's redeemable, and it's not so terrible as you think, and therefore you don't have to be so passive because of that. You know, Adrava, go and fix and conquer, and it'll be good. And even Beinish could hear good ideas, and that's what Hoidu does. So it sort of softens the negativity that sometimes Chas V'Shalom davening can bring. That's what Hoidu does. So again, this is where the pnimius of what Hoidu is being masakin over there with Asiya and so on. And the nigla of what Hoidu is trying to establish as far as the day is concerned, where they're united. So when you say Hoidu, that's the idea. You're trying to say to yourself and to the whole world around you, everything is a lot better than I think, and it's more redeemable than I think, and I have more strength inside of me than I give myself credit for, and I'm going to go on proactive and conquer the world and be a good day. Okay. We should be zechet to see with our own eyes. We just go to the ground. May every man know.